Quarter past six, you're with Zingisa Chiro and Randile Mazibuko on Taking Care of Business on Rise FM. Now, as promised last night, the administrator of Lekwa Municipality, that's Mr. Johan Mettler, is back on the line again this evening as we continue our series on the Lekwa Local Municipalities 2021-2022 Integrated Development Plan and Budget. Now, I already see many of you are sending through your questions, but for those of you who may be want to be part of the conversation, you can send through your comments or questions to our WhatsApp line, which is 072-885-7702. That's 072-885-7702. And remember to go to the Lekwa Local Municipalities Facebook page for you to go through the actual IDP to get a better understanding of what we are talking about, so you can base your questions on the information that is provided there. That is the Facebook page of the Lekwa Local Municipality, which has the Integrated Development Plan. I guess, welcome back, Johan.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back, and also a very good evening to all of you listeners.
Now, Johan, following up from our discussion yesterday, I mean, we obviously touched on the fact that electricity was one of the major challenges that Lekwa Municipality is currently facing. And I think my first question would be, and I don't know if you're able to give us some kind of a figure there, or maybe the reasons why. Why was the municipality unable to pay the Eskom account, and why did they get themselves into this particular situation?
That's a very good question, Wanderlei. The Eskom account was not paid for the reason mainly that the municipality simply did not collect enough money in respect of electricity to actually pay that bill. That is that's the main reason.
Mm.
Now the reasons for that is multiple, and I'll just try to run through it very quickly. First, as I indicated last night, there's a very poor connection rate in respect of all charges.
Yeah.
Right? So the municipality would budget to collect at 85% or 90%, but as I indicated yesterday, they only managed to collect at 68%. Now, that is a huge difference.
Mm.
It makes a massive difference in the money that's available for the operations of the municipality. So that would be the first problem. That it's compounded by the fact that the municipality is not billing for all of the electricity that is used within the municipality.
Mm.
And it's not billing because there's a large-scale electricity theft. Meters are being bypassed, and the municipality does not pick it up. That can all contribute that we have major and significant electricity losses. So as soon as you have electricity losses, it means that you pay for something, but you cannot recover that cost.
Mm.
So that would be the second reason. And then the third reason is that this municipality's electricity tariff rates are in fact way below the cost that it costs the municipality to actually buy it.
Mm.
So, some people make the comparison and say, yes, but Eskom's rates are so much and your rates are so much. That is a false comparison because we have, every municipality has, for example, fixed costs. So you have already invested in infrastructure that you maintain, irrespective of whether one single person buys electricity.
Mm.
So you have that component, and then you have the component that relates to the actual purchase of bulk electricity from Eskom. So we have to take that into consideration to get to a number that is fair and reasonable to then charge. So this municipality has for years, in fact, subsidized electricity costs to all of the communities, whether you have money or whether you don't have money. They've subsidized, and even in this proposed budget, we make the point, if you look at the PowerPoint presentation that's there on the Facebook,
yeah,
it is said there that the tariff increases by Eskom and the water boards are above inflation.
Yeah.
And the variance between what we charge and what they charge, we subsidize by the equitable share. And that is a practice that I walk into. It is not supposed to be like that. You know, the people that must be subsidized are the indigent members of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start looking, not now, in the future, to correcting the water tariff and the utility tariff. So if you put all of that in one pot, then you see that if this was a business and it was selling electricity, it would have been out of business a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that is not the reason why it was then the debt that built up. It couldn't pay all of the account. And currently we're in a situation where we are in a payment arrangement with Eskom.
Yeah.
And it's a complicated story, but it's simply maladministration and mismanagement that brought us here.
Yeah. Now, Johan, we are in Youth Month. We've got Youth Day coming through tomorrow. I mean, I was looking at some of the figures in terms of the education levels within the municipality, and I think that's a huge positive. I mean, if you look at, you know, the number of people that reside in that particular municipality in terms of that have got a grade 12, qualification and further studies as well, I think that's quite positive in itself. But I'm just interested, you know, and I'm going to ask this question on behalf of the youth, especially in that area. What provision, for instance, has the municipality made, for instance, for the youth development and local empowerment within that that locality?
Yes, we have made a provision in the proposed budget for an amount of 4 million rand that would go towards local economic development programs, projects aimed specifically at the youth. It will assist with youth development and stimulating the local economy and dealing with young entrepreneurs. So, it is really a case of the municipality creating opportunities, you know, not creating or employing the youth, because there simply isn't enough money to employ all of the youth, but money is available to enable the youth to participate in the economy. I'm the first to admit that much more can be done and much more must be done, because we are sitting on a time bomb. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
We have significant youth unemployment, not only in this municipality, but countrywide.
That's true. Mm.
So government as a whole has a big role to play in building the capacity of the youth to participate in the economy, and even a simple thing like access to data is a big enabler for local development and creating that opportunity for young entrepreneurs to be at home and to participate in the economy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And for those of you who've just tuned in, it is Taking Care of Business on Rise FM with Zinga Satie and Rwanda Lemazibugo as we chat to the administrator of Lekwa Local Municipality about their integrated development plan. Remember, for all of you that are sending through your questions and comments, we will get through most of them this evening. And for those of you that we won't be able to get to, there is still Thursday and the whole of next week. So do join us then again. But as we continue, let's jump into some of the listener questions that we've received thus far. Now, Johan, this question is from Anonymous. Says, tell us if part of your mandate includes the 106 investigation. And if yes, when are you starting?
My mandate does include that investigation. It was an investigation, just for those who don't know, that was initiated by the province, by the provincial department of cooperative governance and traditional affairs, COPTA. They appointed Grant Thornton, and they compiled a report. There was then later on an implementation report, also drafted by the municipality. Part of my job is to ensure that all of the recommendations of that report is followed up and finalized. And if it should happen that I'm advised that there are certain individuals that need to be held accountable, that criminal charges need to be laid, that civil litigation should follow to recover any irregular costs. That is exactly what I have to do, and I have to report on that back to the National Treasury in terms of that which I have done. So I have the report. I've received it from the provincial coffer, and certainly I will be moving on it. It is a specific instruction that I have.
Now, Johan, another listener question that has come through, and the listener wants to know, he's saying, why do you have members of the SAPS in the building? Are you not concerned that this could be seen as a scare tactic and possibly make you seem inaccessible to the community?
No member of the community has any reason to feel that they do not have access to either the municipality, its services, its building, at all.
Yeah.
All to myself. You know, my cell phone number is everywhere, my email address is certainly I get so many emails, WhatsApps, etc. So the police, is a national competence. There are certain assessments that are made, and at national level, at the Office of the National Commissioner, those decisions are made with regard to security.
Okay.
You know, so that I accept, but nobody has any reason to feel that they can't see me. Obviously, there is security, and there's security at every governmental building, and this is no different. But people should not feel that they cannot visit the municipality.
Yeah. Now, Johan, maybe just as a follow-up to that, do you mind sharing maybe your email and obviously, you know, some contact details as well? Because I see another listener is asking, are you accessible to the community via email, and in which instances can the community get in touch with you directly?
No, that is fine. I will put my email on the Facebook page.
Okay. No, great stuff. Thank you very much, Johan. Now, Johan, I know that yesterday we didn't touch on this particular subject, and I think it's more connected to the economy of the municipality itself. You know, obviously there's a history why the municipality would have been placed, or this intervention would have come about, and why you've taken over as the administrator. I mean, one of the country's largest poultry producers took government to court. And as a result of that particular judgment, it was felt that there's some intervention that could take place. Do you mind maybe taking us through that particular process, if you've got any knowledge with regards to that?
Yes, look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it is so that the spirit was and in fact it was the ministers of finance and Proctor, but the minister of finance, if I remember correctly, and the provincial government that was taken to court. In the end, the court agreed with PASTEL that there must be an intervention in the municipality, and that then in fact took place. And as a result of that court case, I was appointed as an administrator to not only sort out the issues that Astral has put forward, and there were a list of issues that they put forward, but then also to look at the general state of the municipality, and my terms of reference, which was gazetted in the government gazette, then makes reference to all of the issues that I will have to look at and address during the time that I am here. Just in the event that those types of reference are not available, I know my team is listening, and they should also place that on the Facebook, because I did come across a few stakeholders who told me that they have not seen it. It's a public document, and I think everybody should, in fact, have a look at that.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Metler, you know, I looked at actually some of the submissions that have been made by Estrel, and maybe I just want you to comment on this as well. I mean, they'd indicated that there was a balance of about 741 million that was set aside for infrastructure development in the budget that would have been made available to be able to improve the infrastructure in that area. Do you know maybe if that budget is still available and if it will be spent in the future?
To the best of my knowledge, that money has been forfeited.
Mm.
You know, if you don't spend money,
yes,
the National Treasury has the authority to reallocate,
yes,
that money to municipalities that have an appetite for spending,
and
the municipalities did not display such an appetite.
Mm.
So I have not seen in the draft budget that there's any money that were rolled over.
Mm.
We call it a rollover from one year to the next.
100%.
So that money period is gone, and just remember, I mean, for a case to come to court, it takes some time because I think that may even refer to the 18-19 financial
year. That's correct.
So that money is no longer available. We have other money that we have to spend. In fact, we are doing fairly well on the spending of our municipal infrastructure grant and our integrated national electricity program. We're doing very well there in terms of spending because we have some assistance now from the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, the MISA, that is doing an excellent job in helping us to project manage many of these projects. And really, it's a case of project management that was sorely lacking.
Mm-hmm.
A simple thing like having a procurement plan needs to be in place. It's a basic, very, very basic tool that you need to spend. You know, you must plan to spend. You can't just spend.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, or not this year, now, that when I came, that was one of the first things that I insisted that is devised and implemented and to manage by supply chain, is that in fact there should be a procurement plan for every department that has an infrastructure budget, so that we can know on a month-to-month basis, on a quarterly basis, how far we are in terms of our spending, so that we in fact spend the money before the time, so that we can qualify for more money when it comes to November, December, when the National Treasury looks at who spend, how much we want to be top of the range there, and then be in a position to apply for more money. That is one way of ensuring that you get additional money to spend from government if you spend well. So that is clearly within the target that I have.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It is Taking Care of Business on Rise FM. We are with Johan Metler, who is the administrator at the Lekwa Local Municipality. Johan, we do have a listener question. Again, let's just take a quick listen and then hopefully you can respond.
Good evening. I am Moso Kubeka from Ward 14 here at Lekwa Municipality. I'm situated here in Morgenson. I've got two questions for Johan today. The first question will be, did Johan bring his own team, or he will be working very close with the current officials that are at Lekwa Local Municipality? I'm referring to your managers and your HODs. Is he going to bring his own team, or is he going to work with the current HODs? The second question, of which I believe will be the last, is that I've been in the Lekwa Local Municipality building. Outside that municipal building, there are a number of police officers which are stationed there. I just want to find out, has he been receiving some threats that those police officers are deployed to protect him? Thank you very much.
Now, Johan, this is from Mr. Kubega in Morgenson. He wants to find out, I think it's two questions here. Firstly, will you be working with the officials that were at the local municipality, or did you bring your own team? And secondly, the visibility of the police presence at the building. He wanted to know, is this because you've been receiving threats or intimidation threats? Are you being intimidated, basically?
Okay. Thank you. With regard to the first question, Yes, I'm not alone, and I realize I may have created the impression erroneous last night that it will just be. It's not the case. I wanted to make another point about the budget, you know, that I have no budget. But yes, there is a significant team that has been deployed by the national government, both at the national and at the provincial level.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a team of people from the National Treasury, from mm-hmm. the Municipal Finance Recovery Service,
mm-hmm.
from the Municipal Finance Improvement Program, that's National Treasury. From COCTA, there's assistance in governance and institutional reforms. So there's a team available there. There's also a team, as I indicated, from the MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, that are with me on the ground. And they are right now running around trying to sort out some very acute water problems that we have that just happened over the past two days to add to the misery of the residents of Lekwa. So there is a team. There's also beyond that team the Development Bank of South Africa, which have indicated their willingness to do studies and to fund certain audits that we need to do. You know, you can't just fix something. You must actually know where it is broken. So they will help us, especially as far as meters are concerned, to do an audit of them to make sure that those meters are not only working, but also that they are fit with a correct tariff structure. Also, that those meters are then linked to our financial system. So there's really a whole government that has been unleashed onto this municipality, and we should be able to see some real change within the very short term. But I'll speak some more about revenue enhancement later on the program. I'm sure there will be a question around that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, yeah, Johan, I think let's...
Sorry. And then there was a second question around the police.
Yes.
The police, yes.
I can just say that in situations like these, there are assessments made national level through the State Security Agency and through private intelligence.
Mm.
That is normal. That is par for the course.
Yeah.
Because in any environment like this, where you know that there was fraud and corruption, as pointed out by the AG, as pointed out in the 106 report.
Yeah.
When there is a corrective action taken, you are disturbing somebody's life.
Mm.
That is a fact. You are disturbing an existing illicit economy
that is thriving
in the municipality. So that being said, that then feeds into what is called an assessment, a threat assessment, and there is then a particular category, you know, that then determines what kind of national security support is needed in order for a successful intervention. So that would be a reason for the presence of SACS.
Yeah. Now, Johan, if you can just quickly hold on the line for us, we're just going to go and pay the bills quickly.
It's Rosa Fam, just taking care of business.
It's 6:40 on Taking Care of Business on Rise FM. You are with Zingisa Chira and Wandile Mazibuko as we continue our conversation with Johan Mettler about the Lekwa Local Municipalities 2021-2022 Integrated Development Plan and Budget. As we continue consulting, we are getting a vast amount of queries and questions for Johan, and Johan says he is here with us until 7 o'clock, and we'll try to get through as much questions as we can. And Wandile, I believe that there is a question there.
Yeah, there are a couple of questions that have come through, Johan. In fact, somebody sent us 7 questions, but let me go through just a couple of them. Obviously, I think this is a question that you would have answered yesterday. Where are all the departments and the MM currently working with you. And somebody also wants to know that they've heard a rumor that the MM is about to resign. Is this correct? Can you confirm or not confirm? Or is the MM still with you?
All of the senior staff, certainly, that I've engaged with, they have given the full support to me. I've not come across somebody that is obviously being passive aggressive, you know, as we would call it. So I'm quite happy with the cooperation that I get. Time will tell whether that same cooperation is throughout the organization. In my experience, that is never the case. But the important thing is to drive the change from a senior level.
Mm-hmm.
And then through performance plans and to managing with a very short leash to make sure that people do the jobs that they are required and paid to do. So I have no issue around that. You know, with regards to the position of the minister or manager about the resignation or so on, I've no comment. I'm not sure if there's movement. She will know, but I really no comment on that. That's a personal matter, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, Johan,
she should decide what I mean. Thank you.
Now, Anonymous from Standerton would like to know. Their first question would be, what is being done against the officials that brought the municipality into the state? So those who may have been found to have erred or not executed their jobs properly, I guess, and maybe are people being investigated, Johan?
Yeah.
I think maybe that's where we're going. Will anybody be held accountable for putting the municipality in the situation?
Yes. Look, it is obviously early days, so I am not in a position to point to any specific individuals at this stage. It will definitely happen. Because part of my job is to not only look at the 106 report, but to also look at the AG's report, where certain processes have been identified, especially in supply chain management, where things have gone wrong. So all of those instances certainly would be looked at, and if it so happens that I can connect irregular, wasteful, fruitless expenditure to certain individuals, I am obliged to recover that money.
Mm-hmm.
So and that money can be recovered through civil litigation. There can also be criminal investigation if I think that there was crime involved.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there can also be disciplinary action.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is really on my plate. It says so in the terms of reference. So I am certainly going to look at that. So I do expect that things are going to heat up in the not so distant future.
Now, Johan, one of the things that is coming up as a common theme here in terms of the listener questions and it's the issue around water. You know, one listener obviously indicated that, you know, Liqua has been without water for the past 2 days. It's affected schooling for children. And the listeners basically wants to know, where are the contingency plans? Where are the water trucks, for instance, to be able to alleviate with that particular problem? And obviously long term as well, what are we looking at in actually sorting out those particular water problems in that municipality?
Thanks, there's an immediacy issue here, and then there is something that's been coming on for a long time, but they just deal with a very chronic issue that has just happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday at the Staggerton water treatment was a pipe that was feeding a big pipe that was feeding the treatment works from the river.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pipe that sucks up water from the river. That pipe burst.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was it immediately caused serious, serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because we couldn't, there was no water into Tree. It's about as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a major, it was a major event.
Mm.
It obviously had downstream effects because then our reservoirs could not be filled to the extent required. That then led to water not being available in the greater part of Standerton, I should say. We have been working around the clock since yesterday morning dealing with this matter.
Mm-hmm.
We are working with the district, working with the province. We are working with the national department, NISA, in order to deal with this problem. Now it is so that we don't have the heavy machinery, you know, to dig. So we had to get a front loader, a PLB, it is called, from the district in Ermelo. They are busy digging up and making sure that they dig carefully because, you know, you don't want that piece of machinery to fall into a sinkhole caused by this water. So, you know, it's a sensitive operation. But we are working around the clock on this one. People have severely inconvenienced the majority of our people here.
Mm-hmm.
And we are aware of it. We have we don't have any water tankers. We have about five that operation, and we had to prioritize, you know, so they have to go to the hospital and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They are cooled and so on, and then there are areas of the clustered wards that would be serviced by a water tanker. Now, you know, it is not enough. Water tankers are for an emergency, but not an emergency of this scale.
Yeah.
For an emergency of this scale, you literally need 20, 30 tankers, which obviously we don't have. So we are working very hard to fix this particular key problem. I am not in a position right now to give you a time period to say that by tomorrow morning everything will be sorted out. I can just say that we are working around the clock because as people know, it is COVID. There's personal hygiene, etc. So we are acutely aware. I'm also aware HIV/AIDS have not left us. You know, those people suffering from that acute version, they also need water. Older people need water. Water is a critical source.
So
that's where we are. There are the other issues. Our waste treatment plants that are not up to scratch. They've not been maintained.
Mm-hmm.
We have set aside some money to refurbish parts of the Standerton water treatment plant. It's not a lot of money, but it's 5 million, 5.8 million for the next financial year, and then a similar amount for the following year. But I can say I can tell you that what is required is tens of millions of rand in order to fix the infrastructure that has been allowed to decay like that.
Mm. Now, Johan, another theme that's coming through again, I think we touched on it yesterday, electricity. And obviously, you know, residents want to know, you know, and a listener is saying here that, you know, if we have problems, you know, and within a municipality, you'd have electricians. Why did we have to use contractors to help yesterday to sort out the electricity problem? Are our electricians not up to standard? I'm just reading it verbatim. Yeah.
Oh, and then, you know, the short question to that is, yes, we have some serious capacity issues. When I say capacity issues, we have about a 50% vacancy rate across the municipality. Now, that's a lot of people. You know, so if you're supposed to have 1,300 people working for the municipality in order to do the job that is required, but you only have 600, you have a problem.
Yeah.
So our services are then also hamstrung by that. You know that we, if you're in a bad financial situation, you really cannot incur more costs by employing more people because you don't have the money to start off with. You know, so it all comes back to the money. If we had more money, you know, we would look after our infrastructure more. If we had more money, we would employ more people. So maybe I should use this opportunity to say or to share that a big part of what we, a major component of what we need to do as a municipality is to collect that which is owed to the municipality.
Yeah.
On the debtor's book, there's a billion rand outstanding that has been allowed to accrue. That is people that owe the municipality money. Businesses that owe the municipality money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, if I had that money in the bank, I would not even be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are now currently busy devising a program, and if I say devising a program, it's not going to take me a month, it's going to take me 2 days. Where we are going to go around in the town, we're going to visit all of the industries, the big users, the businesses, and we are going to check, you know, whether the property is zoned correctly. We're going to check whether the business that is being performed, that's being executed on that property, is the business that corresponds with the zoning.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that that we know who the owners are, that we know if the people are renting. We want to know who that is. We want to know the condition of the meter.
Mm.
We want to know whether that meter is reading, whether it's reading properly, whether it is feeding that information into our billing system. So I'm going to have a team of people going around. We will obviously make a formal announcement, but it's going to be soon.
Yeah.
That they're going to go around from the planning department, from the finance department, from the water department, from the electricity department, to go and do it block by block to make sure that our data is correct. That when we say that, you know, you owe us this, then we can say so with conviction. And, of course, when you do an exercise like that, all those that have circumvented the system will also come out. You will discover them. There where the meter has been circumvented, has been jippoed, has been tampered with, that will come out. And in that case, we will apply the bylaw that will allow a spot fine there and then. That will have to be paid before we reconnect you, and we will make sure that you remain disconnected until that is paid for those that have transgressed the law. You know, if you haven't transgressed the law, you have no worry. You can invite us in, you can check everything, and we won't have a cup of tea with you, but we will go on to the next place. So that is what we're going to do. We have to start there where people can pay. I've told my team that is where we need to have the quick win. We must make sure that happens. I can tell you, in all of my experience, you do get businesses that jeopardize the system.
Yeah.
You go to Eskom and you ask where they lose the most electricity, they will tell you that their big problem is businesses that are circumventing the meters. I expect the same here, and they're going to find those, and we are going to go after the money, and we're going to find it. Because if we don't do that, we've got very, very, very serious problems.
And I think...
And I really hope, that as a last thought, and I really hope that the business community would work with us, that they, where they have unauthorized use, that they would come forward and do what is right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I'm happy that you did touch on the billing, because it is quite a common thread amongst some of the listeners that are engaging in our conversation this evening. But There's also allegations here. This is from Anonymous, that the community has basically rejected metering, and it seems electricity personnel have been in some instances beaten up or assaulted, and property has been damaged. So there is a concern on how will those issues then be addressed moving forward for those who may want to honor their agreements and actually pay their bills.
Look, clearly we have to be prepared for everything.
Yeah.
But I also do think, you know, that maybe in the past it was not done correctly. You know, some people would target certain areas. And I say, you know, let's target those areas where there's a high consumption. You know, so that you don't know where there is a local. If somebody has a monthly bill of 300, 400 rand, and you compare that to somebody who's spending 50,000 rand a month, where are you going to look for who's paying properly?
Mm.
At the 50,000, it makes sense, makes business sense. So that's exactly what we are going to do. So I don't expect people that have those kind of accounts to have that kind of a resistance. And I will also think it will send out a good message to those that are currently illegally connected that may be the thing that they can't afford, you know, that it's actually good to do the right thing. I want to be in a position where we can install meters, prepaid meters, for that matter, in areas that are currently underserviced. But for that, we also need money, because meters cost money, but we will get there. Right now, I want to make sure that we get the property rights that are due to us, that our data is correct, etc., as I've indicated before. So I don't expect too much problem. If there are problems, yes, we'll make use of the police to assist us, but I don't really expect that kind of resistance from consumers that we already target initially. Thank you.
And unfortunately, we have run out of time for this evening. However, we have kept note or made note of all the questions that have come through. And Johan will be back on Thursday between 6 and 7 p.m. and taking care of business on Rise FM to continue with this discussion. Thank you for everybody for taking part in our conversation. As I said, join us again between 6 and 7 on Thursday to continue discussing the local municipalities integrated
development plan.
Thank you.
That's why I'm here, to remind you of that.
Yeah, it is. But thank you so much, Johan, for joining us this evening. It's been quite an interesting one. And I think, unfortunately, tomorrow is, or should I say fortunately, tomorrow is a public holiday. So we will be taking a bit of a breather here on taking care of business. But on Thursday, we jump back onto all of these issues.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Thank you very much, Johan. Thank you very much for that. And I think a lot of the information that you put through has been quite informative as well. Please enjoy the rest of your evening.
Hayi wandile ngiyabona ukuthi balaleli bethu basachubeka bathumela imilayeto and sifanele sibadise ukuthi sithethele imilayeto. Johan uyabuya ngalesine sidawuchubeka sikhulume ngalendzaba ngoba ngiyabona ukuthi indzaba le balekile. There's irregular billing, kukhulunywa ngokuthi kune intimidation, kune staffing problems, so igezi manje migwaqo. So
huge challenges with this municipality. I've done some serious thorough research when it comes to it in terms of some of the challenges that are being faced today. And dealing with the letikon, mkwato, aguna mandi, bandana bakoni geskolueni. There are politics involved as well. You would have heard in the news bulletins, although Johan obviously wouldn't be involved in that as well. So there's a lot of things there that the people of Standard Horn, Bandubase Sakile, I think it's lowest called Sakile little, that are experiencing currently. And I think this particular platform as well, Libalegida, Bakonaman, Sakonaman, questions, especially on behalf of Basadi, Base Standard Horn, Basadi Basadi Kwa municipality as a whole. So, even on Thursday, let them join us next week. Let them join us. Whatever questions you've got, send them through. So that's why we tell them our questions. It's all what's it as a rule and jan. Thank you, Melissa. It's all a standard to Nego, Eligo as well as things.
Bangalashitaula says Abuas, Daniel Liltagos was Kuman Iron and Sabale. And hopefully by then. But in our course, I was in your Facebook page, a Sedical local municipality.
Yeah.
Nyo Ibuga and Ali ITP goods itini, which is the integrated development plan. Dokona was Manbut and Butenati goods.
Yeah, that's true. And our listeners as well as in your no more ufunu kulme zulu, ufunu buzum buzum zulu, sawazu fundi zulu, no, yeah, sawazu kumi zulu, no zing, sawazu fundi zulu, so call what is sick toli kelege. Ubabu Yohan meant like what Gwenza Galan, because it's important that there's a lot of community participation, wonkumutum slambe or consent, and as in Tesla Galan Yas, go to Namamba Benkala, Elikwa, I'd be extremely concerned, even as a resident, just in Pumalang, Yang Shupalendaba, because I can just imagine the level of frustration Abantu Baselikwa are experiencing currently because of Lama linking Abashanabezaninazo.
And that's it. I guess up next is Tidiseme with Rise FM in 60 minutes. And remember, Gutu President will be telling us Gutu Simenja on June 16 at 8 o'clock during a family meeting. Something quick fast before.
I'm not sure if she's going to be talking about June 16 as much as it is. I suspect that it's got everything to do with the COVID and Yasab. Laba Tanza de. Now, the man Labonjuan, I would suggest to go say, the books is a shell up, Robert Gender would say, Ningabina Oxas.
Ningas, 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 Ningas,